Morning.
Yeah, it's lovely to be back. Yeah, with my family. I told Mozzie the other day we had a meeting here, and us, the TCN meeting. I said, wow, man, I'm just part of the family here. Let's just close our eyes. Father, thank you so much. This morning we desire your presence. We desire a impartation of your Holy Spirit in our lives today, Lord. Because you know that the topic of this morning, Lord, is why do we as believers still experience failures in our lives? And Lord, I know when I was busy with this, even early this morning, you spoke to me first. So I'm going to speak out of my heart today. And Father, it's my prayer today that no one that walked in here this morning will walk out these doors the same today. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's a question. How many of you experience it? You're a devoted Christian. You've been baptized. You've been baptized with the Spirit. And everything goes right in your life, but you still experience failures. Well, my hands up. I, every day. And really, it's something that we battle with. So, as a believer who loves and serves God, why do we still live in bondage and not in total freedom? Other question that came up, as believers filled with the power of the Spirit, why do we battle to conquer and overcome transgressions, depression, rejection, anger, sickness, rebellion, unforgiveness? Why do we battle to overcome that? I mean, there's so many scriptures if we are new creations in Christ, why are we still battling with these mental and emotional struggles of fear, anxiety, and worldly desires? Come on, let's be honest. The world sometimes offers things out there that makes us excited, and we feel, why can't we be part of it? Why is something so tough? Why is it sometimes so tough to choose or to discern between the desires of the world and the desires of God? Why do we battle to exercise self-control and abundance in our lives? But why do we not experience this complete freedom is what I want to speak about this morning. And as I say, God spoke to me first. You see, we spend sometimes many hours in books that people have written about these topics of rejection and failure. And we go to conferences and we go to seminars, and there's nothing wrong with it. But still after that, we experience failure. And that makes me feel that I'm not good enough, Lord. I've done what these people, it worked for them, but it didn't work for me. Why? Now, still in my life, sometimes I do not experience that absolute joy, peace, and righteousness of God. And God gave me this scripture in Romans 14, verse 17. And it says there that for God's kingdom does not consist of food and drink, but of righteousness, of peace, and joy produced by the Holy Spirit. So, do you sometimes feel like I feel, as if something is holding you back? You're in this race, but you just sometimes, some mornings on a Sunday, doesn't matter when, you just can't get out of bed. You can't go forward. There's somebody that needs some encouragement. There's somebody that needs motivation, that needs Jesus, but you just don't have the motivation to speak to them. It is as if something is holding you back. And then we also experience sometimes spiritual growth because we focus on others. We see, we watch all these great preachers on television and DSTV, and we desire to be like them. We see how these people are speaking about the Spirit and how they are anointed by God, but I don't experience in my life. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 7 says, surely oppression makes a wise man mad. That's the first part. And I looked up the word mad, and it says to act like a madman, but this one is to make a fool of. You see, and Satan used oppression to make a fool of us. Now, the secret in all these questions this morning is very easy. You all know it. It lies in the ministry of Jesus Christ. His twofold ministry. Two-thirds of Jesus' ministry on earth was to deliver and to heal. You can go and read. It was about deliver people from possession of demonic activities. And then I looked up deliverance. And I want to speak about oppression. But what does deliverance mean in Hebrew? It means redemption or a ransom. The redemption means a ransom for a slave. So you redeem somebody, there will be redemption. You go and pay and you release somebody from slavery. In the Latin roots, it means to buy back or exchange salvation, to be released and to be freed. That's why I'm here this morning and why you are here this morning. If you had this question, why am I going to church this morning? It's about God wants to free you this morning. He wants to free you this morning. Now let's look at oppression. What's the definition of oppression? And then you just for a moment think in the spiritual and you think of your own life, how Satan is using this oppression in your life. It's a cruel or unjust treatment or exercise of authority to abuse you, to suppress you, to enslave you, and we as believers in order to get spiritual control. Satan doesn't worry about your flesh. He destroys it. He destroys it. He needs the spirit in you. He wants to crush the spirit. He wants you this morning, those who are unsaved, he wants to keep them unsaved. You see it with the biker rallies that you go to so many times. There's some of those bikers, you think they will never get saved. You knew me, you thought that guy will never be saved. But you know what? Deliverance is for everyone. Now, how do deliverance from possession? Now, possession means to turn into as if a demon. You are a demon. And totally under the control of Satan being possessed. So this is the two. The one is where it takes over the spirit in you and its spirit man is taken over by Satan. He controls you from the inside. Oppression is you have the spirit of God in you. You are a child of God. You cannot be possessed, but he controls you from the outside by oppressing you. You see, to be oppressed or possessed this morning, people in the world, us here, there's no difference. Both, you are standing under the control and authority of Satan. You know, in my life, I knew to deliver people from, because I was part of the occultic unit in the police for many years, and I saw deliverance, and I saw the power of God, and all that. But I never had the wisdom from God or in my own life. I never understood the thing that was called self-deliverance. I thought that was, deliverance was all about demonic possession and you chase the devils out of somebody. And I never realized that there's something like self-deliverance. But you see, I only dealt in my life. You see, each one of us sitting here this morning, you've got a bitter roots of judgment. You've got a tree in your life that's got bitter fruit maybe. Not everywhere, but there's some bitter fruit on it. And sometimes when we deal with these problems, we deal with the branches, but we do not deal with the roots. Because you break off the branches, you clip off, you have what a snoeing over here, prune the tree, but the same fruit comes out. You see, rather than dealing with the roots. So only through self-deliverance, I could deal with the root causes of my own rejection and emotional issues. And do you think that we ever get there? No. Every day, God is showing something in my own life where I still battle with. You see, and you will see it when it comes to a place where you always look for the fault at somebody else. All of us are guilty. That's one of the first signs of a bitter root in your life. You see, bitter roots and wounds are caused by many things. Bloodline curses, by soul ties, by rejection, trauma, abuse. You know how many people that I still get in my coaching room that has been abused as a child with 7 to 12, or people that I speak to, they're in their 60s today, they haven't dealt with it. They say, I will not speak about it. That is the past. I will never think of that again. But it controls their life. And I will show you later how Satan controls you through this bitter root. So this means, if you listen to what I've said now, that each and every one of us here today need some, in another way, self-deliverance of something. And so that we can realize the true causes of this bitter roots in our life. Now, we also have to find our true identity. You see, because identity, there's two parts in identity. Primary identity is, who am I in Christ? Now the churches, I know the Bikers Church is much, much different, and that's what I like about it. But you go to many churches, the first thing they want to do is they want to get you to accept Christ. That is my first priority as well. And then you need to be baptized and all that, and then they give you a new suit, and you sit in with all the other people, and that's it. You are saved now. But I'm sitting there as a still struggling smoker, or alcoholic, or drug addict, or I went through divorce, or I was abused as a child. The church does not work with that secondary identity, which is called our past, our present, and our future. You see, when you sit with bitter roots, and you sit with these things because of all the reasons that I've called, and you sit with them in your life, you will not go forward. You will go forward, but at a slow pace, and God will not be able to use you to the fullest. Now, I want to give an example. A fisherman cleans the innards of a fish. Why? Not because there's something wrong with the innards, because that is causing the fish to smell. Now, how many Christians are not delivered, and because of root judgment, Satan is having us under his control, and we sometimes give off a bitter or a smelly aroma. Because you know what should bring people to the church? Our walk, not our talk. You see, and this is the problem, that people out there do not see Christ and don't want to accept Christ because they don't see Christ in our lives. And that's why we need to get self-delivered and get these things removed from our life. You see, this continuous struggle causes us to fear. Now, in 1 John 4:18, all that scripture says is that there's no fear in love. For perfect, we sang it again this morning, Louis, for perfect love drives out all fear. It's so amazing in the mornings when I come here, I'm excited for the worship because I know spiritually we connected. The words is going to be there. My whole message was there this morning. You see, only by forgiveness, our submission to God, the blindfold of our fears can be removed. Remember now, every single of these bitter root judgments that I was speaking about, this bitter roots of anger, of resentment, of self-hate, doesn't matter what it is, all these bitter roots brings fear in our life. Equals fear. Fear of being rejected. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of, am I accepted? And do people actually like me the way I am? How many, and especially men, we are battling with that. So for the woman this morning, tell your man every day that you love him and he's beautiful. Men wants to hear that. They want to hear that. I don't know why. They want to hear it more than you do. You see, if not delivered from this bitter root, Satan will use this bitter root because it's an open portal in your spiritual life. It's an open portal within you, and he's going to work through that. It's an open door. He doesn't have to ask permission. He's already got permission. He's got a foot in the door, and he's going to use it against you. And that's why, just to get back, I've seen in so many occasions where we have prayed for people that they have got Jesus in their lives, that when these anger and these issues left them, this demon oppression left them, it was the same as if a person that was demon possessed. That's how strong this is. You see, our failures and struggling is a result of our wounds from the past, as I said, bitter roots of unforgiveness, rejection, rebellion, anger, shame, guilt, and other strongholds and bondages in our life. God wants us to be free and delivered from this. See, to be delivered means to be permanently removed from this demonic activities in your life. We can't see it. It's the unseen. So we don't fear it. But what happens, it manifests through us. When you speak sometimes and you say something, you wonder, but why did I say that? But it's not you. It's that open door. And it's the enemy working through you and using you as an instrument. But to be delivered, firstly, means to be removed of the demonic influence and unseen evil entities that influences, deceive, enslave, and this is the one, torment us daily. But also to deliver. God showed me something. When you deliver something, like the post office, you go to an address and you deliver. You see, and deliverance is also when God comes with his agape love, and he comes to the doors of our hearts, and he knocks and we open for him, and he gives us, he delivers his perfect love in our lives, because that's all about light and darkness. And you know what? Darkness moves much faster than light. You switch on a light, darkness is gone. Acts 10:38 speaks of how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, with the power of the Spirit, and how Jesus went and did only good. And he performed miracles of healing and deliver all that were oppressed of the devil. And he wants to do it for us this morning as well. Now, the key verse that I want to use this morning is Luke 4:18. And it's also there in Isaiah, was it 61? 1 to 3. And you can read it there, and we know that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted. Why are we brokenhearted? Bitter roots in our life. Somebody broke my heart. I went through a divorce. I went through abuse, physically or emotionally. He sent me for the brokenhearted to preach deliverance to the captives. If you sit here this morning and you've got one of these issues in your life, you are a captive this morning and you're not free. And recovering of the sight to the blind, to set liberty to them that are bruised, the bruised of the life, the blind. We are sometimes the blind. Now, the key to the power of deliverance. You see, Jesus came to introduce and live the kingdom of God on earth. And that's what he wants us to do. We are his ambassadors. We are the ones that has to strengthen his arm on this earth, to bring heaven back in the homes. That's what God wants. You see, deliverance is nothing else but a manifestation of God's presence and power in the life of the broken and captive. You know what? When you're broken and you're captive and you're on that shame and guilt in your life and God breaks through for you, that's the most amazing feeling. You will know that God has set you free the moment that the Spirit comes upon you and God switch on the light in your life. It's because the anointing by the Spirit brings freedom to bondage and captivity. And listen to this. I didn't know this, but I never, God showed me spiritual gifts. You can move in the gifts, but spiritual gifts do not destroy yokes in your life. Spiritual gifts are there to edify the body of Christ. Satan uses these yokes to keep us in the dark and to blind us from the truth. And the truth this morning is one word, to be delivered, Lord. You see, the more we seek the truth of deliverance in God's word and in prayer and in worship, spend time with him, and the more we preach the gospel, the more believers will be embraced by this. Because the deliverance is not only for the unsaved, it's for the saved as well. So the message of deliverance is a message of the light and darkness. I said that darkness moves much faster than light. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And may the God of peace himself sanctify you, and may your whole spirit and soul," so when it says your whole spirit, it says your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be preserved blamelessly at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, something you must realize, when there's been wounds in your life that's been inflicted so deep, maybe by a mother, by a father, by a family member, by an ex-husband, by doesn't matter who, by a child, it's been so, it doesn't mean they wouldn't just disappear. The wound is not infected anymore, but the scar will be there. And I love scars, because scars shows me somebody has been in the war. He's a warrior. So walk with your scars, but don't use the scars to pity yourself and fall back and backslide into that brokenness and that brokenhearted. You see, because the Spirit is our inner man, that and that place where God comes to dwell, where he tabernacles when you are born again. But now the soul, God just gave me this one, I thought I was so busy. It's the seating place or the sofa in your soul where God comes to sit and rest. Body, the dwelling place for the spirit and the soul. And it is here where the unseen entities can express themselves in a tangible, visible word, light and darkness again. See, when you are saved, our spirits are transformed immediately. But our soul and body not. We need to understand that. And the reason is there's just too many things that happen in our lives that we can just, yes, you have been, listen, God has forgiven you through the blood of Jesus. You have been forgiven for all those things. But guess what? You have not forgiven yourselves. And you've not forgiven others. God has forgiven you unconditionally. And that's why you walk with those wounds in your life that's holding you back. So to be sanctified means to be made holy, to be set apart. It's like a toothbrush. It's got one owner. You are holy for God, and you are precious to God. You are unique this morning as you sit here. Nobody else like you. And He wants you just as you are. God doesn't want you to chase, to dress like me or the other pastors or speak. No, God wants you with your flaws and your failures. But you see, the difference is, do you know your flaws and your failures? Maybe just go today and husband, go sit down with the wife and ask her to make up the list of things that's irritating her and that you do wrong. And vice versa. It's going to be lists, long lists. You see, our bodies need to be healed. Our soul needs to be renewed and to be set free from this bondage from Satan. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorites. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creature. All things have passed. Look, everything has been made new spiritually. But you know what? Body and soul still needs to be healed. I want to tell you a story of a pig. And this pig, he was a little piglet, this farm owner took it into the house, and it was his pet. He stayed there in the karoo somewhere, and he was eating with him at the table. He was sleeping on the bed with him, everything. And then something that doesn't happen in the Karoo often, there was a storm and rain. And there was puddles of pools of mud. And when that door was open, this pig was out. He'd never seen rain. Nobody raised him. He rushed to that puddle of mud and he was back into it. Just like us. You see, it wasn't him, but it was the flesh, the nature in him that driven him to go back to the mud. How many times that it happened to us? You see, we need to open our hearts and allow the compassion of Jesus this morning to come back in our lives through His redemption only. You see, we need to allow and invite His truth to set us free. And we need to come out of denial of our fears of rejection, your fear brought by depression and the other strongholds in our lives. We need to take up our mandate this morning. Your mandate, your position. God wants to position you this morning. He wants to raise you up and give you a mandate and position you where He wants to use you. He's got a purpose in your life this morning. So that you can stand in His authority and that you can speak what He wants you to speak. And that you can demonstrate this true word of the gospel and deliverance to the world out there. But see, if we're not fully delivered, I remember the time when I was saved, I battled to stop smoking. Man. For a year, I gave my full life. I even started studying as a dominie then. I completed it, but I studied as a dominie, and I couldn't break with a cigarette, that cigarette. I cried every time I was lighting it up there behind. I didn't smoke in the house. Nobody saw me, only me. I knew God. I was crying. I couldn't break with this. I battled. I couldn't. And then God just showed me, take up your mandate. Because you will not be able, because there was somebody that I had to go to, and this was my battle. This person knew that I still smoked, and he had an alcohol problem. And I didn't, when they asked me, I said, I didn't have time. I didn't want to go because I knew what he was going to say. You can't speak to me about my alcohol. You're still smoking. You see, and that's why we need to be delivered. And that's not a good excuse in any case, because I still believe that the smoke will not be able to keep you out of heaven. There's bigger things in life. I don't focus on that. That's judgmental. God must judge that. You see, we need to demonstrate the truth of His love to remove all those fears. We need to ask God and to invite Him today to demonstrate the supernatural power and to manifest His glory and free us today from this fears caused by this bitter root in our life. How many of you, if you sit here this morning, be honest with yourself. Do you feel uneasy maybe this morning? Do you feel maybe ashamed a little bit? Do you feel maybe guilty of something that maybe happened yesterday, this morning, then this is exactly what God's speaking about, that Satan is using that open door. I've seen it in so many people's lives, and I want to come back, and Marcy will agree with me. Don't think that's always roses and sunshine in our lives. We battle as well. Sometimes we battle more than you, because you can pick up a phone and you can phone Morty. But we don't always have. We've got this gatherings of the men now and then, but we don't always have that open door to speak to someone. We have to keep it behind closed doors. And sometimes we're also ashamed. Sometimes we also feel guilty. We feel guilty. I know many preachers, when somebody was sick and then that person died and he was asked by the family to come and pray, he falls into a pit of rejecting himself and guilt. Not because he feels sorry for what happened. There's a bitter root in my life. I worked with an older lady at one stage. She was 78 years of age. And there wasn't a problem. What we'd done is we worked with her granddaughter that was demon-possessed, that was in this dark mountain site. She aborted a child at the age of 13 that was offered and sacrificed. At the age of 60, when they took her to the doctor, they found she's a full-blown heroin addict and that she had abortion. And this Oma and this Ma, they all came in there and they were so cross. And they just want me to chase out the devil, so I asked them to first leave so I could work with the child. And at the end, she came to Christ, this child. You couldn't believe it's the same. But you know what? Oma came to see me because Opa was the one who molested that child from the age of 6. Every day. And he was an elder in church. So what happened? Oma came to see me as well. And then it came out. When she was a little girl, she was abused by family members. And she could never get it. And that made her bitter. Have you seen Pete? Have you seen some of the old people, how they smile? Bitterness. Bitterness goes later to anger, and then it goes into violence and murder. Bitterness always, and that's true, eh? Always ends in murder. Even if it's murdering yourself. I mean, how can you believe this policeman that had everything that he could have, a nice job, nice vehicle, everything going for him. And then one day, I just felt empty, empty, empty. And I took my 9mm Z88 and I placed it against my head. And I said, today, God, if you are existing, and I've accepted you as a child in 13, you healed me from a heart disease, you've healed me, then you will stop me. And I pulled the trigger, and it didn't go off, and I cocked, and I pulled, and I cocked, and 16 bullets later on the floor, not one went off, because God had a plan. But one thing that I'm sorry for, and I asked for forgiveness, was Father, God, Jesus, I feel so sorry, and forgive me for challenging you. I will never do that again. You see, but how did I get there? Everything, I was successful in everything that I did. But I had not that inner happiness, joy, and peace, and the righteousness of God. Because if you don't have peace and joy, you will not stand right before God. You cannot stand right before God if you are bitter, if you sit with self-rejection and self-hate this morning. And you sit here and you've been abused as a child, and you still haven't forgiven that poor people. You still haven't forgiven yourself. You cannot stand right before God. God just wants to free you today. Don't you want to be free today? I want to be free today. And I'm going to do, when I do it today, I said, it's for me first. Always remember, Pastor Mossy stands in the Sunday morning and he preached. God gave that message for him in his life first, not for you. Because he needs to change us first. We need to see the light first before we can give it to other people. And I just want to tell you this morning, that God loves you so much. And maybe some of you think this word is so hard this morning. But this is what the gospel is. It's not easy. And after this deliverance, this morning, I'm pleading with you. Go and find one of the counselors. You can get my number from Mossy as well. Go and see someone to work through this. My wife as well. To work through this bitter roots in your life. To work through this rejection. This self-hate. This low self-esteem. As men. There's almost not a man that don't struggle with this, with low self-esteem. Many of it coming from the way we were treated as children, never good enough. But God says this morning, you are precious, you are here. There's people that's not here. This meeting wasn't for them. God had a meeting with the ones that's sitting here this morning. The ones who are sitting here this morning, God has got a meeting with you. I want us all to stand. So what we do this morning, and now this morning, what I want you to do is, if you want to hold your wife, hold her. Hold her, but do not focus on any person this morning. As you stand there, focus on your own life. Look deep inside. Do that introspection with yourself this morning. Think of all the things that went wrong in your life. Think about, I could be the one that was the failure. So let's crucify the flesh this morning. And allow God's kingdom and glory to bring deliverance in this place this morning. Father, we raise our hands this morning to worship you. Invade us with your presence and your supernatural power that brings healing and deliverance upon us here today. Father, we confess our weaknesses and we desire more of you and less of us. Father, I feel that there is someone here this morning that have come to a final point in his or her life and that feel that I'm not good enough and I have no will and power to live on like this. If that's you this morning, just say, yes, Jesus. Satan, you're the enemy. We don't come by our power, by our words. We come by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. And we come today by the power of Jesus that overpowered you and rebuked your, and we rebuke your accusations in this person's life and in our lives this morning. You do not have any legal right in this person's life or in our lives today. Father, we surrender all, body, soul, and spirit. Holy Spirit, we seek your forgiveness. Invade this place. Invade us and renew our minds so we can see and identify these strongholds in our lives. Father, help us also to forgive ourselves this morning for rejecting ourselves, for thinking we're not good enough. For those things, this morning God shows me there's especially a lady here this morning that went through things, abusive things, and she feels she's the guilty one. God says, forgive yourself. We now declare our bodies as crucified and a living sacrifice, as written in Galatians 2:20, which says, I am crucified with Christ. I do not live anymore, but Christ lives on in me. Yes, Lord. We all come this morning, we say, I declare Satan has no power or control over my life anymore. Lord, we ask you to sanctify us this morning. Drench us in your healing love. Drench us to the point where we can say, as your son Jesus said when he was on this earth in John 14:13, that Jesus said, the ruler, that is Satan, of this world, Satan, is coming, but he has no power over me. I seek your forgiveness today, Lord, as I have sinned by not having faith in your healing power. Lord, but today I'm standing before you and I choose to forgive today, to forgive those who wronged against me and caused these bitter roots in my life. I also forgive myself by allowing myself self-condemnation in my life, rejection in my life. Oh Lord, invade this place with your glorious power and fire this morning. Lord, send your consuming fire, a fire that will bring healing and consume all our fears. Father, you heard our confession of our failures to live in abundance. We now come and we stand in one accord and we declare by the power of your glory and by the power of your son Jesus, we are raising up against the spirit of bitter root judgment, of torment and rejection, the spirit of spiritual poverty and accusations, the spirit of diseases, of addictions, of oppression and self-hate, of downheartedness, of rebellion, of despair, of pride, of ego, of disappointment, of shame, of guilt. Yes, Lord, we rise above all these strongholds this morning that brought fear in our hearts, fear that removed our faith in you and brought transgressions, failure, and fear in our lives. Your word declares that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power love, and a sound mind. Sound mind, which means self-control. Father, we ask for an open heaven upon us today. Send your healing rain. Yes, Lord, send your healing rain. We want to experience a manifestation of your supernatural power here today. Free us from the torment of the enemy so we can live in abundance of your love and in your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for your presence here today. The spirit of fire is moving, I feel. Yes, Lord, the might and power of your spirit is declaring the enemy powerless this morning as we have been delivered here today. You have set us free. Say, I am free. And Satan, you are powerless. Your plans have been nullified. No more lies and torment from you. I declare, I say no to the lies and accusations. I say no to be a captive and to be controlled by fear again. I say yes to be free, Lord. Yes to a life of peace. Yes to a life of joy. Yes to a life of abundance. Yes to a life of fruitfulness. Yes to a life of being under the power, glory, and victory of Jesus. Yes, today we rise up as your sons and daughters that have been set free. Free of failure and fear. Amen. If there's somebody that's here this morning that maybe needs prayer, myself and my wife will stay behind to pray with you. But just remember one thing. Everything that the Lord has said today, nothing is judgmental. It's out of His love, His compassion for you this morning. And I also say again, thank you, Mozzie, and your leadership for always this great opportunity to be with my family. Thank you.